Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've got some very, very interesting conversations to have with you. Firstly, we'll be joined by Amanda Porter. She is the CEO of Cap Green. We've seen and I've noticed all sorts of things happening. I wanted to understand how that fits in with crime and fighting crime. Oh, and also, Mukundi, I've just realized, you know how that links to that other story? Cap Green, you know that story we told before that New Jersey has just allowed the composting of human remains.
Yes. Yes.
So we can become trees in our own neighborhood. So there we go. Maybe we can donate our bodies to Cap Green for... No, I don't think that's...
No.
Probably not where we want to go with that discussion. No. Okay, no. I'm going to then put that completely aside. Anyway, we are going to be talking to Amanda Porter. We'll also be joined a bit later by Leron Sanders from the CSO, talking about the Chagim coming up. What is the expectation? Is there an increased threat level? Do we need to behave any differently? What about the warnings that we are hearing from the Israeli government? Does that impact us? Through all of this, I want to hear from you. 061-895-1019. Let's kick off with a conversation with Amanda Porter. She is in a studio. She's the new CEO of Cap Green, stepping in to a role that I think is filled with possibility. But it's still interesting to me about how this links, because CAP was formed, Amanda, and I'll just jump in as I process this myself. Okay. CAP was formed as the response to an urgent response to fight crime, because crime was having a significant impact on our community and our country. So that part of it is logical for me. Obviously, we all want to live in beautiful neighborhoods, and I love seeing all the development, mm-hmm. but how does Cap Green fit into this notion of crime and security?
Thank you, Howard, and thank you for having me here. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. I have to take you on a journey, and you're just going to have to bear with me as I do so. But 19 years ago, there were 22 contact crimes a month in Glen Hazel alone. Just process that number for a second and think about what 22 contact crime.
Wow.
And we're not talking about petty crime. What we're talking about are those, home invasions, hijackings. You woke up every morning to hear another story. We were being terrorized by crime. And I don't know if you'll remember, but there was a little boy who was shot on a Shabbos morning.
I remember it very well.
And that was it. And
that was the turning point.
That was the turning point. Mm. And to his credit, the chief rabbi kind of grouped together what I call a few good men, and he put them together. And he said, if we don't solve this crime problem, we won't be able to live here. Mm. And within a few weeks, what literally happened is that they put boots on the ground, cars on the road. There were those safe zones. People were scared of being followed home.
I remember, you would drive past
a safe zone.
I've forgotten about things like that.
And there was a call center that said, if you've looked twice, call it in. Mm. And what that did is it empowered a community, and it shifted sentiment and gave hope.
Right.
And I remember Benji and Saul Goldstein, who are still on the board today, they were part of the starting team. I remember we were living in Savoy, and I remember driving to Glen Hazel to withdraw cash because I was too scared to do it anywhere else, because that's where it was safe. And what happened was that the next area said, we also want it. And then the next area, and then the next area. And today, the remarkable story is that CAP is in 88 areas across the country. It is astounding. It's protecting not just a community, it's protecting Johannesburg. Mm, mm. What then happened was that because of that CAP the original, the OG CAP 1.0. What then happened is that because we were in so many areas, it gave us an understanding of deep intelligence and how the areas were connected and how you could follow a crime from one spot to another. And therefore, we shifted from just the boots on the ground to a deep intelligence network. A network that would follow the crime, the process, and really fight crime, not just from a physicality point of view, but also from intelligence, fight it in court, follow it through all the way through to the end. And I suppose that was CAP 2.0, was really addressing crime from a deep intelligence
From the whole picture,
correct.
Because it doesn't help just to
fight it on the ground. You need the deep intelligence.
Right.
And that has been enormously successful. You know, we've almost identified where the real problems are. We've got an unbelievable network that is fighting crime. What's the next phase is what's absolutely critical. And the 3.0 version of CAP is what we call CPTED, CPTED, and it's crime prevention through environmental design. That we have to own the public space. And when we own the public space, we take it back and we make it safe. And you can feel that. If you look in areas where there's vibrancy and people are around, crime doesn't happen there. Opportunistic crime doesn't take place.
So this is the Rudy Giuliani's broken window theory.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And you start to feel it because you know you feel safest walking the streets of Glen Hazel when? On a Friday night. Why? Because we've taken back the streets. We're all out and about walking the streets. And so what...
Look, Mukund is not happy because he said Summerway is impossible with all the old ladies walking. Hey, Mukund? That's one of his complaints in the neighborhood.
Now you're making me sound like I hate Boba.
I don't. She must just walk faster.
Please.
But that's exactly when you own that public space, it's something, you know, you solve the crime problem, you know.
Right,
you really
right.
do. When you own that public space, you suddenly are part of the solution. And it's very empowering and it's very uplifting, you know. And that's where we're at. That's how in a sense, green fits into solving crime. We're taking back.
Tell me about CAP Green. What is the mandate? What is the vision? Because, you know, and then I'm hearing about this one park, which I'm obsessed with because I just love the idea of communal spaces. Give me your thoughts on it.
Look, I've been working at Discovery for 28 years. It's been the biggest privilege, and I'm so deeply grateful for it. And I haven't actually left. I'm still consulting there a couple of days a month, which is a real treat. But what Discovery taught me was two very, very important things, and that is the power of people and the power of purpose. And CAP Green has that. CAP has that in abundance. The people, the non-executives who run it, and the donors who give a fortune of money to it, and the people on the ground who give their hearts and souls to protecting the community. The people are exceptional, and so you join an organization really for that, you know.
Right.
And the second thing is that it's deeply purposeful, as you say. The mandate, that purpose, is really to own the public space, and through doing that, we will solve the crime problem. And so it's looking at an area holistically and saying, how do we take this area and make it beautiful so that people want to be in it? So that we're not locking ourselves behind our house walls and electric fences, because actually it's counterintuitive. That doesn't solve crime. The modus operandi around criminality and criminal behavior will just simply shift. That's why home invasions and hijacking started taking place. Because we'd almost cocooned ourselves around these big walls, and it didn't solve the crime problem. We have to get out, and we have to solve the public.
In other words, it's almost that we start to conquer the space that actually is our own neighborhood.
Correct.
And in inverted commas, own our neighborhood, not just own our electrified 1,000 square meters or whatever it is that we happen to own, or live in. So it's actually about opening up and feeling that actually the streets are a good place for us.
Correct.
And we can socialize, and we can bump into people, and we can greet people, and we can go to a park.
Yeah. And that's the point of the park, is that we're gonna hopefully get these parks done and get pedestrian highways and get people walking around and out and about and owning the streets. Because when they do, it's social, it's good for us, it's good for the community, it's good from a crime point of view. On multiple levels, it can only add value. And we live in such a beautiful country. We have the most incredible weather, you know.
We should be out, you know,
and it's vibrant, and we should be walking. And we should be running, and we should be enjoying
that space. Don't make me feel guilty. Jeez, Amanda.
That's the vitality element creeping
exactly.
in.
Would you just leave Discovery at the door if you don't mind? There's
it's
other things.
So
what is the vision for? Well, I'm assuming that this park is a prototype, really.
Yes.
It's the what is the vision here?
Yes, and Glen Hazel perhaps is a prototype.
Yes, as it was with CAP.
With CAP. I've almost taken exactly what CAP did all the 19 years ago. Mm. That's how long it's been. 19 years ago and remapping it. And my dream around it is not to focus on the crime element, but to actually get people to love where they live. That's my hashtag.
Amazing.
I want people
love
to
love
where
that.
They live. Love where you live, because if you love where you live, you own it.
Mm.
Howard, if you love where you live, you look after it, you paint it, you make sure that you've got your painter on your wall is done, your garden
That's
outside
so true.
Is done.
It is so true.
You know, I'll tell you a crazy story. I met a guy and he said to me, and he lives in a particular area, and he said to me, you know, this area is finished. It's done. It's over. I told my wife we've got 5 more years here.
Oh, God, there's 5 more years.
Yeah,
business.
5 more years. And I said
I've had it since, I've heard it since I was in primary school.
5 more years.
5 more years,
I said to him, you know, the problem with that is that you've already checked out. You don't paint your wall. You don't fix the garden outside your house. Your neighbor comes home and he looks, he sees you not putting in effort. He also doesn't put in effort. And now you are the urban decay problem.
Yeah. You've created the 5 years.
We have to love where we live. Mm. We have to upgrade and be part of it. It's empowering and it's beautiful. And we live in a beautiful country and we want to be nation builders, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's where we're
incredible.
At.
So what is the dream here? I mean, I can see the vision, but how does everything comes with money? Everything comes with commitment. It comes with buy-in.
Yeah.
It comes with a lot of. It's maybe in some ways more of a challenge because we've got a useless municipality. Maybe it's less of a challenge because we can empower ourselves to do things.
Yeah.
Give me your approach to the future.
Look, firstly, I mean, and you mentioned it, but I don't want to brush over it. We've got the most incredible donors. And you can't do any of this without that.
Sure.
Without that, and they're not just donors, they are visionaries, you know?
Well, I think you have to be, because otherwise you can say, it's so easy to say, why would I give to grass when I should give to to poor students.
Correct. That is exactly what we get all the time. But a real visionary doesn't see things binary.
Right.
They don't see it in either or. They see an and. They're giving to the students and they're giving to the park and they're giving to all the communal. They're building schools and they're feeding families and they're doing care. It is we are very, very,
very
blessed, you know.
Very.
And I don't want to brush over that because I think it's,
no, I think that's
it's absolutely critical, you know. We couldn't do it without. Look, there's so many aspects to green, you know.
You know what? Hold on. Mukundi is now shouting and wagging his finger. We're going to take ads. We're going to come back afterwards, after the ads, for you to talk about that so that I don't feel like I am rushing you because this guy here is insisting on paying the bills.